There are two big, big stories in American education today. The first is immediate, a fumble by the federal government regarding financial aid for college students, and it seized up the entire college admissions process. The second is more long-term, with no end in sight, a teacher and staff shortage that's pulling people out of retirement to pitch in and has superintendents actually driving buses themselves. How both stories are playing out in the North Country on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Clarkson University, offering over 95 programs of study with campuses in the Hudson Valley, Central, and Northern New York. More at clarkson.edu.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Friday, March 22nd. First up, the town of Potsdam has decided to start powering its municipal buildings with local renewable energy. Last week, the town council voted to sign a two-year contract with Northern Power and Light, a hydropower company based in Saranac Lake. The village of Saranac Lake has also opted to get electricity from the company. It signed a contract back in January. The move is expected to save thousands of dollars a year on electricity for both communities. Northern Power and Light's electricity will come from the Sissonville Dam on the Racket River outside Potsdam and the dam on the St. Regis River in St. Regis Falls. Education story number one. Thousands of North Country high school seniors are in a stressful state of limbo right now. They're trying to make a decision about college, but they're still waiting on financial aid offers from schools. That's because of delays from the federal government. The Department of Education recently launched a new version of the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, also known as FAFSA. But the rollout has run into big mistakes and problems. A lot of students still don't know how much financial aid they'll get, and advocates worry that some low-income students may give up and decide not to go to college at all. Lucy Grinden has our story.
Most students in the U.S. get two letters when they get into college. First, an acceptance letter, then a financial aid offer. That second letter, the financial aid one, is really crucial for families.
To help us decide which school she wants to go to and how and if we can afford it as a family.
That's Carlene Doan in Canton. Her daughter's a senior in high school. In a normal year, she probably would have picked a college by now. Instead,
we're on pause. We're on hold of, you know, my daughter that's going in has been accepted into a couple of schools, but they are unable to give us a financial plan. So now we're waiting.
A lot of families are dealing with this around the country right now. That's because the government is taking much longer than usual to process FAFSAs, decide how much students can afford to pay, and then tell the schools. Without that info, the schools can't make their financial aid offers to parents yet. The new FAFSA was supposed to make this whole process quicker and easier. Doan says the new FAFSA is simpler than the old one. In the past, she filled out the previous version for her older son. But she says all the waiting this year is really frustrating.
Like, you expect me to have accountability in filling out this form. In return, I expect you to have accountability in providing this information, too.
Lots of schools are pushing back their May 1st enrollment deadlines to give students extra time to decide. That includes all SUNY schools. SUNY Chancellor John King held a virtual roundtable about the FAFSA earlier this month.
The FAFSA has been in the news lately for all the wrong reasons, but we're here today because we understand that for so many students, FAFSA completion simply means the difference between going to college and never having the chance.
King announced a push to help more students with the FAFSA last month, including at least one in-person event at every SUNY school. Courtney Rust is the financial aid director at SUNY Potsdam.
Our students could not attend college without financial aid.
Rust says 96% of SUNY Potsdam students use some form of aid. This year, the school ran a bunch of FAFSA labs for local high schools, like Edwards Knox, St. Lawrence Central, and Madrid Waddington. Rust says the challenge she's seen the most with the new FAFSA is that students are getting confused by the process and submitting their FAFSAs without signatures, causing delays. Rust says she's been trying to ease people's anxiety. Her office does one-on-one counseling sessions to answer FAFSA questions and talk through the process.
We're just really hoping that people can at least get a FAFSA done by June 1st. And if they still can't get it done by then, there's no penalties or anything like that. We understand that it's taking some time.
And she says local high schools should reach out if their students still need FAFSA help. SUNY Potsdam's next FAFSA workshop will be this Saturday on the school's Admitted Students Day. Lucy Grindin, North Country Public Radio.
Hopefully the FAFSA issue gets resolved at some point soon. But this next issue, there's no bright light at the end of the tunnel. It's the school staffing shortage. Last fall, a survey from the National Center for Education Statistics found that 9 of 10 school districts were struggling to hire teachers and staff. Amy Feiereisel reports on the short-term fix many districts have turned to close the gap.
When you have open positions and no one applying, what can you do? In many North Country schools, this has been the answer.
Right now, we are truly relying on retirees at all levels coming back into the workforce.
Ron Burke is the superintendent at Messina Central School District. He previously served as superintendent in Canton. He gave one shortage example. St. Lawrence County is hurting for math teachers.
I believe right now there are 4 or 5 openings at least around the county, maybe 6.
At Messina, they had 2 math positions they couldn't fill in the fall.
And 2 retirees came back to job share one of those, so that helped us there.
Burke says with fewer graduates coming out of teaching programs like the ones at SUNY Potsdam, schools are left with fewer options and lots of vacancies.
Physical therapy, OT, speech is a huge issue, school psychs. Special education has been a major shortage for many years.
Across the U.S., retired teachers have been rejoining the education workforce to fill those positions. And states have changed laws to make that possible. In New York, the state has suspended an earning limit for retired teachers since 2020. That allows them to work without taking a cut in their retirement benefits. Burke says many retirees have come back because administrators like him have asked them to.
And I think it's that sense of loyalty for many of them that they know our students are suffering as a result of the labor shortage.
But this can't last forever, says Burke.
It's a temporary fix to a long-term problem.
New York is facing a steep retirement cliff. The state estimates the school system will need 180,000 new teachers in the next decade. But teaching programs aren't graduating in large enough numbers to meet that need. Education advocates say there are lots of reasons for that. Pay isn't competitive with the private sector. Pensions have been reduced. Burke says there's something less quantifiable, too, how teachers feel about their profession.
We need to make sure that our teachers are highly respected and that they are recognized as being, you know, vital to our communities and to our children. So it's a struggle to get that back.
Staff shortages extend to janitors and cafeteria staff and bus drivers. Retirees have also filled gaps there.
Without the retirees that are driving for us, I just don't know how we would even get our students from point A to point B.
It's a widespread issue. Across the North Country, it's become increasingly common for superintendents to drive bus. Burke was behind the wheel for much of January and February, alongside other staff that normally wouldn't be.
You know, I still have my transportation director. He's running bus runs both morning and afternoon, as are all 3 of my mechanics. So I still have at least 4 people, you know, giving up part of their day with their normal job to drive bus.
In January, in hopes of alleviating the bus driver shortage, the New York DMV implemented a federal waiver. It allows school bus driver applicants to skip a mechanical component of the commercial driver's license road test. And New York's education department is currently discussing alternative options to becoming a certified teacher to try and jumpstart a sluggish teacher pipeline. Burke says the state and districts need to get creative because staffing problems won't go away on their own.
Anything that we can do to promote folks coming into our system would be great. We truly need those posters that were so common in World War II, where Uncle Sam was saying, "We need you." We need to do the same thing right now in education. You know, pointing out to folks that, hey, we need you.
He urged current high school students and second career folks to give education a try.
Try some education courses. Try getting into a school as a sub. See if you like it.
According to local, state, and federal numbers, there are a lot of openings. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
We have more news all the time and through the weekend on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by Ben Sharon of Watertown and Patricia Julian of Burlington. Have a super weekend. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.